In 2013, a team of cavers in South Africa discovered human-like fossils. Those fossils were eventually identified as a near relative to modern humans, now known as Homo naledi. Since that initial discovery, an international research team has discovered more fossils, and work is focusing on learning more about how Homo naledi lived some 200,000 years ago. One of the more than 30 researchers studying Homo naledi is Lucas Delazine, a professor of anthropology at the University of Arkansas. He first talked with us about Homo naledi in 2015 when the initial discovery was announced. He recently joined Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis in the Harold and Blanche Cox studio at KUAF to give us an update on the quest to understand one of humanity's close genetic relatives. Delazine says he didn't become involved with the research project until the summer of 2014.
And the significance initially was that we identified these fossils as belonging to a new or previously unknown species called Homo naledi. And the other thing that was really significant about them is that there were so many of them. They were so numerous. So already in 2014, so this is, you know, not even a full year after they were excavated, we were working with nearly 1,600 fossils, which is an immense amount of fossil material for a recent discovery like that.
The initial discovery of the species involved fossils from one section of the Rising Star Cave system, but more specimens have been found since then.
That's correct. So the first fossils were found in a chamber in the Rising Star Cave that is called the Dinaledi Chamber. That cave site is the one that has the 1,600 fossils in it. The new material that we published just last week or 2 weeks ago is from a new chamber called the Lacetti Chamber. And so these two chambers are in the same big cave system, but they are not directly connected. So they're, I think, about 100 meters apart. So they're distant from each other in the cave system and not directly connected, but the fossils in them are very similar.
So what's the significance of finding more fossils of Homo naledi in a different part of the same cave system? And what's the significance of having more samples to compare to each other?
Well, it's an axiom in paleoanthropology that more fossils are always better. So it just gives us more material to work with. But the first chamber, the Dinaledi chamber, the material was kind of mixed up. The fossils were all found in close association. So we weren't able to assemble bones that represented a single individual per se. And so what we were able to do is make hypotheses of what a single individual would look like if we could find associated bones. In the second chamber, one of the individuals is basically associated. So we can start to test hypotheses we made with the material from the first chamber to see if our predictions were correct. Plus, the first chamber had approximately 15 individuals represented in the fossil material. The second chamber has 4. So that gives us now almost 20 different individuals to work with. And those 20 individuals are based off of the dental remains that we can assemble the teeth together. And so, again, now we can have a range of individuals to look at. Some are very young, some are children, on up to older individuals. And so we have the full lifespan of Homo naledi represented in the dental material now. And so that gives us a chance to test lots of hypotheses about diet, about growth and development, about pathology and disease and things of that nature.
So having that wide range of ages, what have you been able to determine so far?
I always tell my students that fossils don't come out of the ground with labels telling us who they are or which species they belong to. So because the teeth are so numerous, we have more than 200 teeth now to work with. One of the first things that we have to do is to figure out which teeth go together in the same individual, which species do they belong to. And so I think for a little perspective, again, we just started working with these fossils in 2014. So a lot of our initial research has been just testing the hypothesis that these fossils represent a new species. We have a lot of investigations underway right now that will look at diet, that will look at, again, growth and development and disease. And so we're starting to test more specific hypotheses about the biology of Homo naledi. But to date, our research is really focused on just nailing down what species is present in that chamber.
What's so special about the actual condition of this site within the Rising Star Cave system? I mean, other than just finding this new species?
Well, so for some perspective, the cave site Rising Star is in an area called the Cradle of Humankind. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And this area has been known basically since the 1930s as one of the most productive areas in South Africa for yielding fossils of our ancestors and our cousins. And so there are many well-known sites just in the vicinity of Rising Star. For example, there's one called Sterkfontein, there's one called Swartkranz. And so Rising Star is not in an unexplored area. It's in an area that's been very well explored historically. But this cave site itself looks a bit different than the others. This cave site is, again, subterranean, so it was found by cavers. The others are exposed at the surface. And the content of the caves are different. So Rising Star, the hominin fossils are more numerous than the fossils of other animals. And that's exactly the opposite at these other cave sites in South Africa. We have a lot of fossils in the Rising Star cave that are articulated, meaning that the bones are still in their original positions as they would have been during life, which says that the bones have not moved much after they got into the cave. And the other thing is that there are just lots and lots of fossils of hominins. Again, we have nearly 20 individuals now between the two chambers in this cave system. And that is unusual for these other cave sites. So it says something about the history of the site formation is different at Rising Star than it was at these other classic sites in the cradle of humankind. And so that's one of the mysteries that other teams are trying to figure out right now, is how did the bones actually get into the cave and preserve in the way that they have.
So your expertise is in teeth.
That's correct.
Anatomy of teeth. What have you been able to tell so far from the remains you've been able to study?
So the teeth of Homo naledi look very distinctive relative to other hominin species that we know about. So one of the things that I focus on is the anatomy of premolars, that the bicuspid that your dentist may call them. And human premolars have a very distinctive shape. Homo naledi has a very oddly shaped premolar that does not look anything like human premolars. And so they're kind of, again, picky details, but the tooth has an expanded portion of the tooth surface where they were chewing. The roots of Homo naledi premolars are multi-rooted, which means that they have multiple little roots, whereas humans typically have only a single one. And so it's very minor details like that that really show us that Homo naledi is not a modern human, and it also does not match the anatomy of all of the other extinct hominins that we know about.
Teeth are very small, relatively speaking, to other parts of the body, which would make me think that they wouldn't stand up to the test of time very well. But how would you classify the quality of these samples that you've been able to test?
Well, so teeth, you can think about them as being little fossils in your mouth already. So teeth are covered in a very hard outer surface called enamel that is one of the densest biological tissues. And so it's already heavily mineralized. And so to become a fossil, really that's the trick. You have to turn into a rock. And teeth have a leg up because they're already rocks. And so for that reason, there are a lot more teeth in the fossil record than there are other elements that are lighter and less mineralized. And so that said, there are still lots of things that can destroy teeth before they form fossils. So imagine if you're a skeleton lying on the surface, you can be trampled by other animals. If you're in a river system, you know, the water pushing the teeth downstream will break them up. And so a lot of things work to destroy even teeth. In the Rising Star cave system, we don't have those problems. The bones have not been trampled. They've not been transported by water. Even the process of fossilization can sometimes destroy teeth, kind of cause them to explode. That's not happened here in the Rising Star cave. So the condition of the teeth is perfect. They look as if you literally taken them out of somebody's mouth today. Their teeth are still white. They still look like fresh enamel that has not been fossilized.
So what are the questions that the project are seeking to answer moving forward? What are the big questions left that you would like to see answers for?
Sure. So the first thing is, I don't think I've mentioned yet the date of the material. The Homo naledi fossils date to about 230 to 330,000 years ago, which seems like an ancient time period to most people, I'm sure. But for some perspective, the oldest fossils of our species, Homo sapiens, are only slightly younger than 200,000 years old. And there are fossils that are older, say going back to about 500,000 years ago in Africa, that look more modern human-like than do the Homo naledi fossils. And so one of the kind of surprises about the Homo naledi discovery is that we have this fairly young species, Homo naledi, living at the same time and perhaps in the same place as the direct ancestors of modern humans. So one of the questions is, how do two species that are both bipedal, presumably tool-using species, how do these two species coexist and presumably for a long period of time? And so that's one of the things that dental research and investigations of diet may provide some insight into. That is, we can start to see how these two evolving lineages were splitting up resources in the environment. You know, did Homo naledi survive until a recent time period because it was exploiting different resources than Homo sapiens? Or is there some other story? And it's that kind of question, I think, that is really important for us to hone in on right now.
So based on the data you have available right now, how does Homo naledi relate to Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, and all of the other recent human ancestors?
Correct. So if you look at the old world, say a quarter of a million years ago, in Africa you had the evolving human lineage, Homo sapiens. In Europe we had the Neanderthals. They were evolving at the same time. There's this enigmatic lineage that we know from Siberia that we call the Denisovans. And then there was a species hanging out in an island in Indonesia on the island of Flores that is called Homo floresiensis. So Homo naledi now adds, what, a fifth lineage that would have been around about a quarter of a million years ago. And so, again, the Homo naledi does not look like a modern human. And it doesn't look like necessarily a primitive hominin. It has its own unique traits. And that is true of the Neanderthals. Neanderthals are not simply primitive humans. They have their own very unique, distinctive Neanderthal traits. So that each of these species we can identify by their unique set of traits. Homo naledi does not look to me, from a dental perspective, like an ancestor of modern humans. They look like an extinct cousin. So a kind of side branch on the human family tree, but not necessarily at the base of our family tree. And that's because Homo naledi has features in their teeth that we don't observe in modern humans. And these features we observe in Homo naledi, again, are not exactly primitive. Some of them are just unique to the Homo naledi lineage. And so it's kind of a fingerprint, if you will, that says that Homo naledi is unique, distinctive, and does not share the same set of traits that modern humans do. And we see that also reflected in other aspects of the skeleton. Some things about Homo naledi may be primitive, its small brains and its small bodies, but there are other aspects, say, of the hands that may not be primitive at all, that just may show another way in which a hominin could appear anatomically. And again, if you just go back a quarter of a million years ago with these five lineages, so that's, in geological terms, yesterday. Today, there's only one, and that is Homo sapiens. So the question of why did we make it through and the others did not is unanswered currently. And we knew about Neanderthals. We've known about them for more than a century. We've known about these fossils in Indonesia now for more than a decade. What we did not have evidence for was diversity in Africa at that age. I mean, species-level diversity in Africa at that age. So now Homo naledi shows that there was more than one species of hominin in Africa a quarter of a million years ago, something that previously there was not a lot of evidence for. So really it shows that the story isn't just modern humans having taken over Africa, if you will, first and then spreading out of Africa to replace the other hominins. The story in Africa itself was quite complicated. And I think it says that we need people out there in the field exploring for fossils in new places, because we might discover, you know, that Homo naledi existed somewhere else that we had not previously searched. And so the story is becoming more complicated and therefore more interesting in Africa.
Lucas, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Lucas Delazine, a professor of anthropology at the University of Arkansas. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis earlier this month.